Are you ready to bring your dream body and health into life, but just can't seem to keep the motivation going? And is it finally time to address the self-sabotage and the unwanted eating behaviors, such as binge eating, emotional eating, and nighttime eating, that are getting in the way of your goals? And do you ever wonder what it would take for you to feel in control of your rituals so that you can stay consistent and see results? Welcome to this week's special Make Peace with Food minisode on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast, where you'll learn how to overcome unwanted eating behavior and other self-sabotaging habits by shifting your nervous system so that your body works with you instead of against you. I'm your host, Sherry Shaban, and with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to make peace with food and find food and body freedom so that struggle with weight is a thing of the past. When you tune in every Thursday on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast, you'll catch the latest conversation on unwanted eating behaviors and learn how to shift the nervous system, rewire the brain to new patterns, and end the food and body obsession so you can finally feel relaxed and no longer confused around food. Today, you're listening to Fat Loss 101, a two-part series masterclass where I'm sharing the basic science of fat loss, the hormones responsible for fat storage mode and fat loss mode, the four things that have to happen to switch the body into fat loss mode, and how you can turn your body into a fat burning machine no matter how long you've been in fat storage mode. And hint, it's not through dieting. So if you're ready to ditch the dieting roller coaster and curious about how to get your body to work with you instead of against you, you'll definitely want to listen in today. Now before we begin, I want to quickly invite you to grab your copy of my Food Freedom ebook that I have for you at makepeacewithfood.com. And if you find that this conversation resonates with you today, then maybe consider sharing it with someone who you know may need to hear it too. And finally, if you feel called, then I also want to invite you to join our free Make Peace with Food Facebook group at myfoodfreedomlifestyle.com, where you can connect with me and my team directly. All the links are in the show notes. All right, athletes, now let's get into it. Today, we're going to be talking about Fat Loss 101, the second part. We had the first part of this conversation a week ago, and today we're going to continue our conversation. When we were doing part one of Fat Loss 101, we were talking about how, number one, we have to stop dieting. So just as a quick refresher of our conversation, number one, if we really want to release body fat, and by the way, this is super important because there is a difference between releasing weight and releasing body fat. And our goal, our objective is actually to release body fat versus releasing weight. Because when we release weight, that could really be a number of things. That could be the amount of glycogen that we have stored in our muscle, which is why sometimes when we cut carbs right away or we're on a low carb diet, that's actually the first thing that we see that we lose, which is actually the stored glycogen in the muscle. And with every gram of stored glycogen, we store 2 grams of water with it. And so that initial weight loss and that, whoa, this is so magical. Oh my goodness, I lost so much weight in such little time, is actually water and glycogen. And so that's why it gets so discouraging when we maybe start eating carbs again and then see the weight coming back on. It's because we didn't actually release body fat. We actually released weight. And weight could also be maybe even muscle tissue. And when we restrict our calories and we go into a calorie deficit for too long, that's what we end up seeing. We end up seeing a loss in muscle tissue because actually the body is always going to prefer to release that first to utilize that up actually as energy. So it'll take our muscle tissue, it'll start to convert it into little packages of glucose that we can start to use for energy. And it will actually prefer not to tap into its fat stores, because for the body, the fat stores is survival. And so one of the things that we spoke about last time is, number one, to not cut calories and to not be in a calorie deficit for too long, because the body's metabolism is going to slow down to conserve energy, which is fat storage. So it's going to actually make it harder to release stored body fat. And then it's going to go for the muscle tissue instead as fuel. And the side effect of that is a loss in lean body mass and a reduction in metabolic rate, because really where we burn our calories in the body is through the muscle tissue. And so that's why, number one, we want to stop restricting our food. We want to stop restricting calories. And then number two, we also spoke about cortisol. And when we have high cortisol in the body, which is a response of stress, and more specifically and accurately, it's a response from protection mode. That is the nervous system being in sympathetic nervous state. Cortisol is released, adrenaline is released alongside some other hormones too, to get us to really be able to take action quickly, to get out of dangerous situations. Again, this is a survival mechanism, but the side effect of that is also, again, the desire to store energy for survival. And generally, when our cortisol is high, we tend to store around the midsection, because that's much, much closer to the organs, it's much, much closer to the viscera, and it can be used quickly. And so therefore, if we really want to turn our body into a fat burning machine, we really need to manage our stress. This is so important. And oftentimes, again, we just look at the food. We just try to control the food, but not all of the other areas of our life, not our toxic relationships, not our toxic environments, not the places that we visit or the people that we spend time with that don't necessarily serve us. And so they keep our cortisol levels high. And so here we are working really hard, restricting and exercising, which also, by the way, increases cortisol, and yet not seeing progress. And then the conclusion is, it's not working. We need to look for another diet. We need to restrict further. Or maybe we even just give up completely. And so to manage cortisol, we have to not only pay attention and address the stress in our life, but also manage restful sleep. We want to make sure that we are feeling rested when we sleep. We want to maybe reduce blue lights or anything else that's stimulating, like caffeine consumptions too late in the day. And really make sure that we're going to get nice, restful sleep. So that way we can bring our cortisol levels down. And the other thing too, when we have cortisol that is too elevated for too long, we're going to start to notice more sugar cravings. We're going to start to notice more cravings for certain foods, really foods that very specifically give us an insane amount of energy right away. And that tends to be the refined foods and the processed foods and the foods that don't necessarily make us feel so great after we consume them. And so now today we're going to continue that conversation, and we're going to talk about the two other things that we need to address so that we can really keep our body in that fat burning mode. So it's kind of like having a peanut allergy, right? So we don't necessarily restrict, let's say, peanuts or peanut butter because we're worried that there's too much fat content in there, or that we are following some sort of plan that told us that we shouldn't be eating peanut butter. And the reason for avoiding it is not because, again, it's associated with what the outcome in our physical body is going to be in terms of size or weight. But instead, we would try to avoid peanut butter because of the reaction it gives us in our body, because actually, it's a dangerous anaphylactic reaction, and we have sensitivity to it. We are allergic to it, and the consequences could actually lead to something super, super extreme and very dangerous, and maybe even death. And so that would be why we would avoid peanut butter. And so the word really is restriction. Okay, so I wanna really come to that word restriction. And restriction means, if I'm restricting myself from doing something, it really means that I actually have an intention or a desire for it, but I'm avoiding it. So I'm going against my natural desire for it. Now, you may notice that there are certain foods that you eat that also don't make you feel well. So personally for me, and this is after many, many, many years of trying different things, I've discovered that I don't react well to gluten or dairy. It actually makes me feel very ill, and I start to notice even a change in my mood, a change in my skin. I mean, I'll break out, and I'll have also bathroom issues if I overconsume these foods. And sometimes even it could be the combination of foods. And so that's just a lot of trial and error and experimentation from my end to get to this place. And so if I tend to avoid gluten, it's not because I want it and I'm denying it, which is a restriction, but instead it's really because it doesn't serve me. It doesn't make me feel well. It actually makes me feel ill. And so I lovingly choose to feel healthy and vital and full of energy. And I much prefer to sleep well, to not have any gut issues after I consume these foods. So that's why I tend to avoid them as much as possible. I mean, maybe they'll sneak into my food if I don't know, and so be it. However, that's the difference between really setting up a restriction in your mind and really moving away from I can't have this to I don't have this. And so the person who, for example, is noticing that they're reacting to certain foods, it's really about understanding and getting the mindset to move towards love. And you're lovingly choosing to avoid these foods because they actually don't make you feel well. And so again, it is always about the intention behind it versus it actually being this absolute rule. So we already spoke about the first two. So that's do not restrict calories. The second one is watch your cortisol levels, manage your stress and all of the areas of your life that contribute to that stress. And the number three would be to manage the hormone insulin. Now, if, for example, your primary goal around nutrition is just to monitor insulin, it starts to change everything. So insulin is our storage hormone. And insulin is the hormone that's released from the pancreas anytime we consume carbohydrates and proteins. And the job of insulin is to go into the bloodstream and then take the glucose and bring it to the tissue for storage. So the first place it goes to is the liver, and then it stores glucose in the form of glycogen, which is a super packed up dense form of glucose, many glucose molecules, so nicely condensed and nicely stored and tucked away. And then the remaining glucose is then sent to the muscle tissue to also be stored as glycogen. Now, anytime those reserves are full, then everything else is converted to fat and then stored in our fat cells. And this is wonderful because this is, again, how we can bring nutrients and we can bring energy into the muscle tissue when we need it. And then also if we have excess, then we can store that for using it later. And so that's the first role of insulin. Now, the second role of insulin as a storage hormone is that it suppresses fat oxidation. So while we're in storage mode, remember when we are in looking at the metabolism, we are either in fat storage mode or fat loss mode. And so when we are in fat storage mode and insulin is released into the bloodstream, then the second job of insulin is to avoid any fat oxidation. So it keeps the fat cells nicely holding on and really adhering tightly to that stored glycogen and the stored molecules of fat. That's how my day's been going. So just wanted to let you know that we all have these little moments of flubbering and wanting to share that too with you as well. So I hope this starts to make sense, because if we're going to start to manage our insulin levels and notice that every single time we consume something that has a lot of sugar in it, or we consume sugar frequently throughout the day, we're continuing to put our body into a fat storage mode. And so what we want to do instead is start to notice that maybe some of the foods that we're eating are contributing to that. And maybe what we can also do is start to choose foods that have less refined sugar, so that don't tend to stimulate the pancreas so quickly to release so much insulin. And so by also avoiding snacking often, so, you know, sometimes we have a meal and we don't really feel full, and then maybe 30 minutes later or 45 minutes later, we'll eat a little something, and then we're just kind of micro snacking throughout the day, but not really sitting down to have that full, complete meal and really feeling that satiety and really feeling that level of fullness. And so what we'll do instead is we really want to focus on having a complete meal that satisfies us, that fills us up, and that allows us to go for several hours till our next meal time. And so start to notice that in you. Start to notice again if you are snacking often, if you're kind of throughout the day just having all these little micro snacks and not really sitting down with a meal that's going to really create satiety and fullness for you. And the other thing too is we also have this thing called the circadian rhythm in our body. And the circadian rhythm is this natural rhythm that we have in our body that actually aligns with the sun and then aligns also with just what's going on in our environment. If we were to go to another time zone, our body's natural clock or circadian rhythm would realign to that time zone. And so that essentially means that at certain times during the day, we have hormones that are released to help us sleep and help us to relax, and that's in the evening. And then at other times in the day, we have hormones that are released to give us more energy. So in the morning, as an example, we have hormones that are released to really help us feel more awake and feel more vital and get started with our day. And so around 7 or 8 p.m. at night, that's really when we start to actually become insulin resistant. That's when our body starts to prepare for sleep. And so we would probably benefit more and have a better quality of sleep if we allow our body to just have a little break from food and digestion a few hours before bed. And so again, the pancreas at that time in the evening is starting to shut down. It doesn't want to release insulin, doesn't want to be digesting. The body's actually trying to rest. It's trying to really prepare for healing. It's trying to prepare for recovery from the day and for really being fully prepared energetically as well for the next day. And so a recommendation also to really help manage your insulin levels is to maybe give yourself 2 or 3 hours. I'll always recommend 3 hours to really just completely digest everything before bed. And so if you, for example, fall asleep at 11 p.m. at night, then maybe try to aim for your last meal or last snack to be at 8 p.m. So I hope that was helpful. I hope that resonated with you as well. And then finally, the last thing. So the fourth thing, if we really want to turn our body into a fat burning machine, we have to address the things that are making us feel out of control around food. And more specifically, if we have had traumatic events, if we have had certain experiences that are very stressful for us, that are very overwhelming for us, that we notice are oftentimes contributing to emotional eating or stress eating, then we really need to address that. Because all of these efforts that we spoke about are not going to feel like they are paying off. So if we're trying to exercise, if we're trying to change our lifestyle and trying to introduce more whole foods, for example, if we're still dealing with and suffering with any unwanted eating behavior, that's always going to contribute to our overall success or maybe even prevent us from really achieving our goals. And so if you're experiencing that, it's so important to address it. If you're experiencing that, then I want to say to you that that's actually the first place that you have to start. So when we are in protection mode, it actually impacts all of the other things that I just shared with you as well. When we're in protection mode, our metabolism will naturally slow down because that is the response of the sympathetic nervous state. We're also going to have high levels of cortisol. And then we're also going to notice that we are driving to eat more foods that are sweet or maybe high in refined carbohydrates and sugars. And so we're going to tend to produce more insulin as well from the pancreas. And so if that is where you're at, I want to tell you that really the work is going to be to make peace with food, to overcome unwanted eating behaviors, and to get your body in a place where you feel more centered around emotions, where you'll actually be in a place to respond to things happening in your life by being the driver's seat of that response, instead of reacting to things where you feel out of control, where you feel like, oh my goodness, all these things are happening in my life and all these things are happening to me. And I almost feel like I have zero control of all these outside factors in a way that would serve me. And so remember that it only takes 30 minutes to determine whether or not truly there is a nervous system issue for you here at play. If you are and have been experiencing unwanted eating behavior, then all it will take is first determining whether or not this is going on. Because if you are chronically stuck in protection mode, and we see this all the time, we have women that join our program who've been in protection mode since childhood, then I want to say to you that within 6 months or less, you can actually shift your nervous system. And the way to do that is exactly all the things that I just shared with you. We have to stop restricting. We have to really manage our hormones, and we have to address the areas of our lives that are really taking away our peace and leading us to use food to cope, or maybe even other substances. And so when you jump on this call, what we're going to be doing together is first determining whether or not this is what's going on for you, if it truly is a nervous system issue. And if it is, we're going to share with you the different ways that make peace with food can support you, depending on the level of support that you need. And if we discover that it's not the nervous system and maybe it's something else, we'll also guide you with some resources to help you get started. And so it is a win-win situation. And again, if you've been here for a while, just say yes, just take action today. There is a beautiful life on the other side of this where you are no longer obsessed with food, where food is no longer the center of your life, what you eat, how much you ate, what time to eat, all the guilt around it, all the shame around it, all the stress and anxiety around food and where you're gonna find that food. Whew, it is time to release that and let that go and feel more comfortable connecting with your body, listening to your body's cues, when it's time to eat and when it's time to stop. And so if that's resonating with you today, I want to invite you to jump on a call with me, and I am super happy to support you through your journey and give you that information that you need to get started. And with that, I wish you a very beautiful rest of your day, and I will see you next week. Thank you for listening to this week's Make Peace with Food minisode on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast. If this has resonated with you today, I want to invite you to subscribe to the show so you never miss a beat. And if you know someone who could benefit from this conversation, then please share this episode with them. Let's work together to help as many people as possible make peace with food and fall in love with fitness. And by the way, I need to mention that if you rate and review this podcast on iTunes and send over the screenshot to sherry@sherrychaban.com, you'll receive a $500 voucher to join me at one of my upcoming retreats or to use it in our Make Peace with Food coaching program. And don't forget to visit myfoodfreedomlifestyle.com to join the free Facebook group for more resources. And remember, athlete, you are an inspiration. I cannot wait to hear your story.